Today we're turning to 2 Kings chapter 4, just three verses of this passage, but we trust there'll be a blessing to our hearts. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn in the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. And the servitor said, What? Should I set this before 100 men? And he said again, Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat, and shall leave thereof. And so he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the short reading, but Lord, this reading from thee. And we pray, Lord, you'll teach us from thy word, open our eyes to behold wondrous truths out of thy law. Give us, O Lord, ears to hear, hearts to receive, an attitude of obedience to what thou would call us to do. And may, Lord, this word be a word in season for each waiting heart. We realize in a meeting like this that there could be those whose minds will wander, and those whom the devil would have focused on something else other than the message that is being proclaimed from God's truth. And therefore we pray that, Lord, thou wilt take up the minds of all gathered here today, that they might concentrate on what is being said, and realize that the Lord is speaking to them today. And I pray, O Lord, there be no distractions. Take all every demon of hell out of this place, every imp of hell. And we pray for liberty and for signs following the preaching of thy word and of thy truth. Empty me of self and sin and fill me with thy spirit. Be glorified, I pray, in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen and amen. This is the second miracle in the chapter in regards to food. Again, there are not many verses, just three short verses. And yet, as we go down each verse, as we simply want to do this morning, I trust and pray that the Lord will bless his word to our hearts as we wait on him. We read verse number 42 again. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley, and full ears of corn, and the husk thereof. And he said, Give unto the people that they may eat. There's so much here, so much in these few words. First of all, we have the setting of the miracle. Now remember, they're in a time of famine, a time of famine in the land. And however, in the midst of the famine, God brings them provision from Baal Shalisha. Now the place where the provision comes is very significant. This place is very important for us to note. In 1 Samuel chapter 9 verse 4, you don't need to read of it, or you don't need to turn to it, but in 1 Samuel 9 verse 4, we read of Shalisha, the town of Shalisha, or the area of Shalisha. However, you'll notice here in this passage that there is a word added to that name. It's not Shalisha anymore. It's Baal Shalisha, the false god, the idol, that system of religion. And it was the religion of Jezebel. Remember the queen? It was the religion of Jezebel. And obviously she has exerted her influence in the land at this time. And in efforts to promote her false god and her false religion, she has added the name Baal onto some of the town names or the land names in the area, so that even in their normal run of conversation, they will be using the name of that false god. Now, it spoke, obviously, of a place that was largely given over to idolatry. And this area that this man came from was an area that worshipped Baal. It was a godless society, due to the fact that we believe there's only one God, one true and living God, and he had been rejected by the majority of the population. And in many ways, we can say in the United Kingdom that we can identify with Baal Shalisha, because we are no longer a Christian country. In the past, It was the United Kingdom that sent scores of missionaries around the world, especially in the Victorian era, in the early part of the 1900s, in their scores sent around the world to evangelize nations that were godless. Do you know today, there are missionaries coming from the United States, from Canada, from Africa, from Australia. You know who they're coming to? They're coming to the United Kingdom. Because as a nation, our nation has forsaken God. However, while this nation was marked by idol worship and the sins which went along with it, we read in verse 42, there came a man. There came a man. Now, what can we learn from this? Well, I believe we can learn several wonderful truths that ought to be an encouragement to you and to me today. First of all, we learn that the famine was not a universal famine. There was a famine in the land that Elisha was in, but it was not universal. It wasn't worldwide. And in the neighbouring country, there was food that was growing. And that's actually a fulfillment of the promise of God, because whenever Noah destroyed the flood, God said to Noah in Genesis chapter 8, verse 22, "While the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, and cold and heat, and summer and winter, and day and night shall not cease." So God does allow famines to go to certain areas. But there's never been and never will be a worldwide famine where there is absolutely no food growing at all. So we rejoice in the mercy of God. Even in judgment, there is provision. But the second thing we can learn from this statement, "There came a man from Baal Shalisha," is this: God will always have a remnant. God will always have a remnant. Whether it's a man or a woman, a boy or a girl, in every godless society, there is a remnant for the Lord. Remember, Elijah was suicidal because he couldn't see much happening among the people. He felt as if he was the only person shouldering the burden. He felt as if he was the only one worshipping God. He felt so isolated. But God had 7,000 people who were worshipping him. 7,000 faithful in the land. And sometimes maybe feel, oh, we're the only people, or we're the only church, or we're the only denomination. God has a remnant across this world in these different places, and those whom he can use. And even in the godless society that the United Kingdom has come, praise God, there's still a remnant. Praise God, there's still a light burning. Praise God, there's still churches opening. Only, of course, not as many as they once were. The people aren't coming in the numbers that they once were as a society. But praise God, there's still a remnant. And praise God, he is keeping his church and building his church, even within the midst of a godless society. Not only that, but God was merciful in meeting his people's needs in a time of judgment. We know that famine in Scripture is cause of judgment. And we have a faithful God. He supplies our every need. And just as Elisha and the sons of the prophets had a physical need, God met them at the point of their need. And friend, we need to start remembering that what we need, God will supply. Now, God has given us the ability, mentally and physically, to work and to earn what we need to eat and to clothe ourselves and to do all of those things that we need. And God has blessed us. And through what he has given us and our abilities and our talents and our ability to work, God has given us those things. But friend, even in the midst of judgment, even in the midst whenever God's anger was upon the land, God still provided for his people. Isn't that wonderful? Every need he is supplying. Plenteous grace he bestows. Every day my way gets brighter. The longer I serve him, the sweeter he grows. And friend, it does not matter if you live in a godless society or you live in a so-called Christian society. It doesn't matter if you're the only one who's saved in your home or if all of your family are saved. To this regard, you can be thoroughly blessed by the Lord in spite of your circumstances. He is the blessing. He is the one that thrills our soul. He is the one that we look upon. Yes, we want to see our land saved. Yes, we want to see our families saved. But friend, the blessing of God is for his people now. But the other thing we learn about this, God often meets our needs in unexpected ways. There are avenues of blessing that we never asked for, that we never sought. we can never have imagined, but the goodness of God has blessed us in wonderful ways. I'm sure that there was no one in this gathering praying, "Oh Lord, please send someone from Baal Shalisha." But the Lord did. And the Lord often provides for our needs before we even know to ask for them, before we're even thinking that we have a need. I remember one time travelling to London for a Bible conference years ago. And when I was sitting in Belfast International Airport, the flight was completely delayed and it didn't leave until a quarter past midnight. And I was doing the math in my head and thought, right, I'm going to get to Heathrow and there's going to be no trains going at this time of night. How am I going to get into London? What am I going to do? And I thought, maybe they'll be open, maybe they'll be... And when I arrived and I asked, no, everything's closed for the night, the buses have stopped and all of that, what am I going to do? And I just said, Lord, what am I going to do? I was standing in an airport, couldn't get into where I was supposed to be going in London. And a person tapped me on the shoulder and said, "You're from Castle Dawson? Do you know so-and-so?" And turned out I was at school with their son. I said, "Do you need a lift? For we're going into central London." And right to the very door of the hotel. Even before I knew I had need, God had provided exactly what I had needed. And friend, everybody in this gathering can testify of times whenever they need it. Maybe it was a phone call from a friend for encouragement. Maybe it was financially, and the Lord provided. Maybe it was a message from the pulpit that you didn't even know you needed, but you are thankful that it was preached because God provided something that you needed. The smallest words in Scripture are no less important than the longer words. And there's two short words that I don't want us to overlook this morning. And it says at the start of verse 42, and there came a man. A man. Those two words. Friend, those are very, very significant. This man's unnamed, so we can't give him a name. But he is greatly used of God. A.W. Pink said, this man from Shalisha, acting in the spirit of God's law, journeying with his first fruits to where Elisha was, could have had no thought in his mind by this action he was going to be a contributor to this remarkable miracle. We may never know how far-reaching may be the effects and what fruits may issue for eternity from the most inconspicuous act done for God's glory or for the good of his people. And while this man was the instrument, he was used by God. God gave the blessing. Ultimately, the blessing was from God. And we should continually praise God for his blessings, for his mercies, for his provision, for his providences, for his gift. He is the giver of all good things. But there's a lesson here. Just like this man, a man, you also can be used by God, dear Christian, to be a blessing. If we would walk with God, if we would listen to the promptings of the Lord, we too would enter into the blessing that that man did of being used by God, of being the answer to someone's prayer as the Lord leads us. We don't need to be widely known or popular to be used of God, but we do need to be available and willing. And therefore this morning, I'm not asking you how widely known you are or how popular you are. I'm asking you this morning, are you available to God? Are you willing to go through with God? Here was a man under God, faithful to God, a blessing to others. God still uses individuals today. You maybe think, I'm just a man in this church. I'm just a woman in this church. I'm just a boy or I'm just a girl. Friend, if you're saved, you can be mightily used of God. God still uses individuals today. He's taking those who are faithful. Oh, there's a call ringing out for those who will pray, those who will serve, those who will humble themselves, those who will walk with him. You know what? We read in Ezekiel 22:30, and I sought for a man among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. Do you know, man and woman, there have been people over the decades of this congregation have been so faithful in their service, so faithful in their prayers, so faithful in their pews, and yet today they have been promoted to glory. They're serving with higher service. They're praising with a sweeter song. They've seen the Lord in all his beauty. And there are gaps now. There are gaps in the hedge. And there are men and women needed to stand up and to be counted and to stand in the gap for the Lord, for the land, sorry, that the Lord would not destroy it and the Lord would stay his judgment upon it. Will you be that man? Will you be that woman? Will you stand in the gap? This is what the Lord was looking for. A man, are you the man this morning? A woman, are you the woman this morning? A young person, are you a young person this morning? You see, there's another verse that we could read about a man in Scripture. And it tells us in 1 Corinthians 4:2, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And if you're saved, you're a steward of everything God has given you. And it is required of you that you be found faithful. And the word faithful means true, believing, trustworthy. That you could be dependent upon as a Christian, dependent upon by the Lord, dependent upon by your church. And the Lord can do much with a man or a woman or a boy or a girl who's yielded to him. But friend, remember this morning. You may be sitting in this gallery on sea and you're thinking, oh, that's right, preacher, you tell those Christians they need to be faithful, they need to do this, they need to do that. But there are verses in Scripture that speak to us about a man, but it's an unsaved man. And those verses, friend, are very solemn. Those verses would teach us that it's a serious thing for a man or a woman or a boy or a girl to be unsaved, to be out of Christ. Because we read verses such as this, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We think of those words of the Lord Jesus Christ in Mark's Gospel chapter 8, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Remember this morning, you're just a man, a woman, a boy or a girl. But the important thing this morning is to know that you're God's man, God's woman, God's boy, God's girl. Do you belong to the Lord? Are you saved? Oh, friend, how awful if your testimony would be, there was a man, there was a woman, there was a boy, there was a girl. And they died without the Lord. They died without the Lord. I'm glad there was a man who was willing and faithful before God and used by God. Let's notice what he did. He brought of the first fruits 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husks thereof. Those loaves of barley, I suppose when we think of a loaf, we think of all the slices of bread in that packet. And if you had, I suppose if you had 20 loaves, you had quite a bit of bread. But that's not what it's talking about. It's talking about a small roll that would have been placed in your hand. One or two bites and it's away. And this was brought to the prophet. Why? Now here's the question. Why did this man from this godless society bring this to the prophet? Well, you turn with me to Exodus chapter 23, because God's word gives us the answer. Exodus chapter 23 and verse number 19. Exodus 23, verse number 19. The first of the first fruits of thy land thou shalt bring into the house of the Lord thy God. So there's the command. Whenever the harvest come in, the first of the first fruits were to be gathered and brought as an offering onto the house of God. Turn to Deuteronomy and you'll find out why. Deuteronomy chapter 26. Deuteronomy and the chapter 26. Verse 1, and it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance and possesseth it and dwellest therein, that thou shalt take of the first of all of the fruit of the earth, which thou shalt give of thy land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and shalt put it in a basket, and shalt go on to the place where the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Go down to verse number 8. And the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt with a mighty hand, and with an outstretched arm, and with terribleness, and with signs, and with wonders. And he hath brought us into this place, and hath given us this land, even a land that floweth milk and honey. And now behold, I have brought the first fruits of the land, which thou, O Lord, hast given me. And thou shalt set it before the Lord thy God, and worship before the Lord thy God, and thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given unto thee and unto thine house. So what do we notice here? There has to be acknowledgement that the Lord is the source of all blessing. I have given that which thou, O Lord, hast given me. Verse number 10. So whenever you come to put your offering in the plate on the way out of the building, what you're really doing is giving back to God which he has first given to you. Not only that, it was to be a response of worship. At the end of verse 10, thou shalt stand up before the Lord thy God and worship before thy Lord thy God. So it's biblical for us to come to a worship service and to give an offering unto the Lord of our first fruits of what we earn. And it ought to be done with joy. Verse 11, thou shalt rejoice in every good thing which the Lord thy God hath given thee. So it is to be done acknowledging God as the blessing or the blesser. We're to do it in an attitude of worship. We're to do it with an attitude of joy. How do you give? Do you give begrudgingly? Do you give stingily? Do you give just when you feel like it? The principle today is carried on through the tithes and offerings of the people of God. Whenever the money comes in at the end of the week or at the end of the month or whatever way you get paid, you say to yourself, right, there is the money which God has given to me and facilitated me with. So I take 10% of that because that is automatically the Lord's. That's the tithe. And I have to give that to the Lord. Remember in Malachi, prove me now, saith the Lord. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse and prove me now if I will not open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing. So there's a blessing for bringing your tithe. And then there's your offering. And that's what you give above your tithe. And whenever we give unto the Lord, we will be richly blessed. We will not go without if we give what is truly the Lord's unto him. Now, in Ezekiel, I'm not going to get you to turn to this, but it says, and all the first fruits of all things shall be the priests. And the reason why the first fruits were brought to the house of God was because the priests were not paid financially, but they were paid by the offerings that were brought into the temple or to the tabernacle before the temple was built. So the priest received of the food that was brought as an offering, and part of that offering was taken and he ate it, and that was his food, and that's how he lived. But the question then is this: why did this man bring his first fruits to the prophet and not to a priest? Well, the reason's very straightforward. We find in God's word that whenever the evil kings were ruling in Israel, there came a time, and this is in the book of, I think it's 1 Chronicles chapter 4, the Levitical priests left Israel. Remember, Israel was divided into two parts. There was Israel, the northern kingdom, and there was Judah in the southern kingdom. And in Judah, the capital was Jerusalem. In Israel, the capital was Samaria. And while Judah had a mixture of godly kings and wicked kings, Israel only had wicked kings. There was only ever idol worship and idolatry and wickedness in the land of Israel. And therefore, got to the stage where the Levites packed up and came down to Judah and to Jerusalem to conduct their ministry there. So there were no Levitical priests in Israel at this particular time. And it was not permitted for people in Israel, under the wicked king, to journey to Jerusalem to partake in such festivals or such sacrifices. So he did the best that he could do to fulfill the command of God, and he sought out the prophet of the Lord, the man who was serving God, and he wanted to give his offering, and he brought it to this place, and he gave it unto the prophet of the Lord. He sought to obey the principle of God's word, and he brought it to the man of God. Now, I want just to think of that wee second. The man of God. That is a title for Elisha. That was a title given to Moses in Exodus chapter 33, verse 1. It's a title given to ministers in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. But thou, O man of God, Paul is speaking to Timothy. But it's also a title given to all believers. If you're saved, you're a man, a woman of God. We read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect. And therefore, this title is not, this title, sorry, is given to the prophet in respect of his office. Because he was the prophet, he was called the man of God. And this man of Baal Shalisha sought to obey God's word, and as a result, he was a blessing to others. We come now to verse number 43. And the servitor said, What should I set this before 100 men? And he said again, give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall leave thereof. That offering of 20 loaves was for the prophet. And they were small, they were for his personal needs. But he gives the command to share them out with everyone. Now there are 100 men sitting there before him. And he asked that they would be given. He was a man of faith and a man of generosity. He didn't say, I'm sorted, let me go and have my meal over here and forget about everybody else. He thought of others. And he shared what he had with those around him. Luke 6:38, give and it shall be given you. Give and it shall be given you. The Lord's no man's debtor. And if we're generous with others, the Lord will be generous with us. But there was a servant here who had doubts. What? Should I set this before 100 men? Now, what I think is amazing about this is this very man who's expressing his doubts is a servant of Elisha. What does that mean? It means he was with him. So he had seen at least the miracle of the pot and the death in the pot and the miracle that Elisha wrought. He most likely had seen other miracles that Elisha had done in the land, but now he doubted. You see, physically he couldn't understand how this could work. There's the food, there's the people, this isn't possible. It didn't make any sense to him. Beware. Beware when it comes to the matters of God. That we try and reason out in our minds what God is doing, how God is doing it. Because if we try and do that, friend, we will be doubting. Because we'll not be able to fully understand what God is doing. Remember, God's ways are not our ways. God's ways are better than our ways. And that's the wonderful truth that there is this morning. It's interesting to note that in response to this doubter, Elisha doesn't argue with him. He doesn't reason with him. What does he do? He repeats the command from God and he gives the promise of God. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat. You know, sometimes we find people coming to churches and saying, well, you need to do this and you need to do that. And oh, you need to include this and you need to include that. And then people will come. No, our authority is the word of God. Preach the gospel, be instant in season and out of season. That's what the Lord blesses. And he has promised to build his church. And God had revealed to Elisha that the little he had would be made a blessing to all, and Elisha believed God. Again, that's the bottom line. Faith. Faith was exercised here. And true faith is not dampened by the unbelief of others. And I say to you, dear Christian, this morning, keep looking unto the Lord. Remember, when someone acts like Elisha's servant, and they ask questions like Elisha's servant, what? That doesn't make sense. What are you doing that for? That doesn't. Whenever they start acting like that, remember their eyes are on man. Their eyes are on the physical rather than the Lord and the spiritual. You see, the servant saw the problem, but Elisha saw the provider. Oh, how easy it is to see the problem, isn't it? How many times we look and there's nothing but mountains, obstacles, difficulties, apparent darkness in our ways. And friend, we're so taken up with the problems, but we forget to look up to the one who provides. I am with thee. Maybe you've been discouraged this week by others. Maybe other Christians have behaved in a way that shows their eyes are not on the Lord. and you've been discouraged, you've been knocked, you've been hurt, pray that God will lift their eyes, but you make sure that you keep pressing on. You know, we're living in a day whenever some believers have the attitude, well, if he or she doesn't agree with me on every opinion that I have, they mustn't be walking with the Lord the way I am. Never judge a fellow believer because they don't agree with what you think, or they don't believe everything that you believe, or they're not just like you. We ought never to strive to be like another Christian. We ought to strive to follow the Lord. Imagine that day, had there been people in that crowd, and their eyes had been in that servant. Oh, that's a servant of Elisha. Oh, he's a great man, and oh, he must be a man of faith, and I want to just be like him. And they were looking to him, and they were really encouraged by his life, and now all of a sudden he's expressing doubt. Friend, what was going to happen to the people who were looking to the servant? They were going to be discouraged, and they were going to doubt as well. That's why you get your eyes off man, you look to the Lord. You look to the Lord. Elisha saw the hand of God in this gift, and he counted it as a token of good that God was going to bless. This was a little thing that God was going to give a greater blessing from. A friend, whenever God gives tokens for good, then blessings are on the way. Blessings are on the way. And maybe this week you've been hurt. Maybe this week doubt has crept in. Maybe this week the devil has tried to discourage you. Friend, don't be like this man looking around saying, this is impossible, it can never be solved. Look up and say, Lord, what would you have me to do? Then we come to verse number 44. And we have to say that in verse number 44, it's often overlooked. And if you were to ask someone, could you point me to a miracle that God did in the Old Testament? I don't think anybody would turn to 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse number 44. And yet there was a miracle of God here. Supernatural miracle of God. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and they left thereof according to the word of the Lord. What happened there? Did they all just take a wee bit of it? Like a wee few crumbs and put it in their mouth? No, of course not. These are grown men. God provided what they needed. A supernatural miracle of God took place. The food that was enough for one was made to be enough for 100. And we know that this miracle was repeated at least twice in Jesus' day, in the feeding of the 5,000 and in the feeding of the 4,000. And I want to remind you that the God who caused the little to become a blessing to many in Elisha's day, and the Christ that took the loaves and the fish and made them be a blessing to a multitude in his day, is still our God who can do the same today. You might have so little to offer the Lord. It might be a little talent. It might be a little time. It might be a little money. It might be a little something. But if you give it to the Lord, God can take it and bless it, little as much, when God is in it. Friends, sometimes it's only a word said for the Lord. Sometimes just a word. An invitation handed out. That prayer that you have been praying, so insignificant in the eyes of the world. Nobody knows about it. The minister doesn't know. The church doesn't know. But you're praying faithfully for that person. Oh, friend, little as much when God is in it. Of course, says he can save. He can keep. He can cleanse. And he will. God can do anything but feel. And I'm glad that at this point, Elisha didn't give up on his servant. But he turned around and he repeated the word of God again, and the servant obeyed. Is it not true? Sometimes we have to hear the message twice. Sometimes we have to hear the message three times. I was speaking to one of the elders in Resharkin on Wednesday night at the prayer meeting. They were saying, obviously they're listening to men at the minute, to issue a call in the will of the Lord in the not too distant future. And he said, the message of Paul and the Philippian jailer had been spoken at least four times in the last 3 months. And I said, well, there must be somebody in the church who needs to hear it four times within 3 months. My friend, is it not true? Because sometimes we hear the word of God and we walk away, and that's not for me. But thank God and his mercy, it's repeated again. And the servant obeyed. And the servant obeyed, and the people were blessed. And the people were blessed, and the Lord was honored. And let's be honest, we need miracles today. We are longing for and hungry for miracles today. We have a nation that's running with joy towards sin, that is infiltrated with injustice from the highest ranks to the lowest. We family and friends who are unsaved and on their way to hell. We people who used to sit in this church, who today are backslidden and not going on with the Lord. God's people need encouraged, strengthened and blessed. And the hymn writer said, where could I go but to the Lord? To the miracle working God. Do you believe he can do miracles today? Do you believe he can revive our land? Do you believe that he can save our friends and our family? Do you believe that people can be restored? Do you believe that God is able to encourage and to bless and strengthen us as he has been doing, but in greater measures? There's no other answer. There's no other way to see deliverance. It's God who's the one who can mightily work today. We need him. We need his power. We need his blessing. And praise God, he can bless us today. And my question, therefore, this morning, as we have thought about this simple miracle, or sorry, I shouldn't say simple miracle, this great miracle, but in these few simple words, I want to ask you, first of all, are you willing to be used by God like that man that came from Baal Shalisha? Secondly, are you willing to obey God? Thirdly, are you willing to exercise faith in God? I say to each believer, I encourage you, I implore you, I say with great delight in my heart, come to the Lord, bring your needs before him, and then see how God will answer and supply your need. Ask him to move today. Ask him to move in your heart, in your family, in your community, in your church. But remember this. Before I close, remember this. We have a great God. And he can do miraculous things, and he will do miraculous things. But remember this. You can only come before him bringing your needs, dear believer, with clean hands and a pure heart. You can't be engaged in knowing sin, known sin and open sin and sheer disobedience and say, oh Lord, revive Ulster. That's mockery. Friend, you can't live like the devil and say, oh Lord, save my family. You can't be the help to the backslider, friend, if you're not the one walking with God. And you can't say, Lord, bless this church and change the attitude and the hearts of people, strengthen people, give us unity, if you are not standing before God with clean hands and a pure heart. However, if it's under the blood, and you stand before God with confidence that there's nothing between you and the Lord, you can ask great things of God and expect great things of God. A friend, the little you have, God will use it mightily to be a blessing to others. Let's unite our hearts together in prayer as we close. This morning, I ask the question, are you where you ought to be with God? Are you able to say, Lord, I'm walking with thee. My heart is pure before thee. My hands are clean, and therefore I'm praying for a great blessing today. Maybe you're backslidden and it's been some time since you've known the joy of the Lord in your heart. Well, today, this God is still able to restore unto you the years that the locusts have eaten. Maybe you're not saved today. And we leave before you that verse, what shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? You can gain, and nobody will, but say you could gain everything this world has to offer. Hell is the reality for the life lived without God. And therefore I pray that you this day will come. If there's someone who'd like to speak to me after the service about their soul, please do that. But call on the Lord now. Lord, give grace today, we pray. Deciding grace. We've been singing about it in our meeting. Grace that will pardon and cleanse from sin. Lord, is there someone today and they're not saved? and they're on their way to hell without any concern for their soul. Oh Lord, never let it be said that a man, a woman sat in this church and was found in hell. We pray you'll be merciful and save them. Maybe the backslider is watching today or is here today. Restore unto them, Lord, the joy of thy salvation as they turn from their sin and trust in thee. And we pray, Lord, for God's people. And Lord, should our name never be known, just like this man, name never recorded publicly. We pray, Lord, that we will be the man, the woman, the boy, the girl that's walking with God as being blessed and as a blessing to others. We pray for miracles. We pray you'll move miraculously in our land, in our town, in our families, in our church, in our hearts. Oh Lord, take away that which is wrong and give us that closer walk with our God. Thank you for each one who's gathered today. Lord, bring us out again this evening. This is the day that the Lord hath made. This is thy day from morning to night. And therefore give us, Lord, the heart that desires to be found in the house of God to worship thee today. Lord, help us to bring others in that they might hear words whereby they can be saved. Oh Lord, give us a great blessing. Watch over us until we meet again. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.